Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
All right, I think we're live, guys. I think we're live at night.
Oh, don't worry, just click on the link. Yes, y'all.
Are we allowed to curse?
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's preferred.
Do we have wine?
Yes, we can have wine. I have beer. What do you have, Vic? What are you drinking today?
Nothing. I'm just high on life.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Russell. It's good to have you here, man. It's exciting. Buddy. Before we came on, I was saying that my favorite of the things that Vic does is when the two of you do vignettes together. It's a throwback to an old school thing, and I fucking love it, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are my favorites. Do you like being in them?
Why do I look the clearest?
I don't know. I feel like I can't get... I'm going to do it like this. Like a Beatles album.
Oh, come close, Russ.
What?
And we'll be half a face. Do the other side.
Wait.
No, not yet.
Look, we're brothers.
You could be. You could totally pass for brothers.
I'm sorry, Peter. What was it?
Wait, do you like being in the vignettes?
Okay, here's the deal. Personally, Vic, yeah. I'll let you say how you feel. There are times where I really enjoy being in the vignettes because they're hilarious, and there are certain vignettes that make me absolutely laugh. And then sometimes I feel like I have to be in the vignette because, you know, we're doing something and I'm with Vic and we do it. But, you know, the Pentangeles makes me freaking die.
How about washing my dick?
I was just going to say, wash my dick and shave my nuts. Peter, you have to understand something. When we were sitting and talking about, you know, hey Vic, what happens if like I just come up and I ask you to wash my dick, and Vic is like, yeah, let's do that, and we kind of talk it through, but I swear to you, the funniest thing about those videos, and I don't think anybody else understands, and I understand why they don't understand. We never looked at the camera shot, so when I walked over and I put the sausage down on the counter or the nut things.
Right.
And he hands me the camera and now I hold them and I see the perspective. He doesn't see it. I do. I'm like 8 years old, man.
Oh, man. I'm listening too, man. That makes me cry. Like you just said. Yeah, absolutely.
And a little alcohol and a little tutu-tutu. And
yeah, but we did that in the morning.
Yeah. Now, how did you guys ever meet each other? How the fuck did you guys run into each other? How did this happen?
I did warm up for a TV show called Forgive and Forget, and he was one of the producers.
This was 1996,
and I auditioned and we just hit it off. You know,
you tell the story. You know, you tell the story wrong every time, and it drives me crazy.
Well.
So here it is, a little bit more dramatically. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm the vice president, executive in charge of production for Fox East Coast. And we're launching a whole bunch of freaking daytime talk shows. And we needed to, the executive in charge of productions came to me from each show. And we were like, we need a warm up for the show. And for the shows. And it was the first one launching was Forgive or Forget. And somebody said, I want you to meet this guy, Vic DiBattista. I think you'll really like him. He's really funny. So I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, like I have time to meet the warm-up for a show. And so, you know, like running East Coast for Fox. Right. But I happen to have been in the studio that day, and they bring in Vic, and I meet Vic, and I fell in love with him in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to do the warm-up for all the shows. And I, you know, and the first show we have is Forgive or Forget. And he did, you know, I got him the job.
That's great.
23 years ago.
Fucking crazy. Now, Vic, you've got this incredible fucking career going, right? But then this bread and
milk. Not yet.
But then this bread and milk thing happens.
Right.
You went literally fucking one night of just, you know, working the crowds, trying to do your thing. right? And then next thing you know, I mean, is your Facebook or where, I don't know where you posted that initially. Right. Well, just like, what the fuck? Like, what is happening on my Facebook page right now?
Was it like YouTube?
Or YouTube, probably, yeah.
He had a Facebook fan page, I mean, Facebook profile, right. And he had 5,000 maxed out because he had been playing, you know, the tri-state area for 57 years. And exactly. So he had 5,000 fans.
Yeah.
It went insane on YouTube.
So, yeah, because everything used to go viral on YouTube before Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Vic, what was that experience like for you?
It was great. You know, it was the first, it was something new to me. I never did anything like that before. It went viral in like 2 days.
But when you shot that thing, did you think when you shot that, there was no way like that tomorrow this is going to be fucking all over?
Like, I almost deleted it. I thought it was stupid. You never know. And right. My father showed me how to monetize it. And, you know, it went viral. And it comes back. It's up to 20 million views. It comes back every winter. It's crazy.
I wasn't his manager.
Right.
This was a year before he had asked me to be his manager.
Crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So, Hurricane Sandy. What was that, 2013?
2013. January, you did that. And in 2014, in April, very early April, late March, I became your manager. But, Peter, everybody thinks, oh, he did, you know, you got to get the bread and milk. And he became a superstar.
Right.
Okay. He did the bread and milk. He got a very nice check from YouTube and he redid his bathroom upstairs. He was, and that's the truth.
Right.
He was still pumping it. I mean, when I became his manager, it was like, Vic, what is this shit on your calendar? And he was like, oh, I'm doing a backyard barbecue on Saturday at 6. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm going to the fucking Harry's Ha Ha Hut. And then at 10 o'clock, I'm going to, I'm like, you're triple booked? And he's like, yeah, and I think there's another one, but I can't remember where it is. I mean, so it was a mess, you know. Yeah. It was great because bread and milk brought him a lot of notoriety.
Yeah.
But it did not change his career, Vic. It didn't change anything. And the other thing, he always gets it wrong and it drives me crazy, is bread and milk, we can't calculate how many views there have been.
Right.
Because, oh, yeah, it says 18 million on YouTube.
Right.
Right. And then it's played on every newscast around the world, on every radio station.
It was on the Weather Channel.
It was on the Weather Channel. It was on Inside Edition. It was on The View. What are we talking about? A billion views worldwide?
Yeah, no doubt.
Over 70?
I always like to get into the art of this. You woke up that morning of the storm. And what went into your brain to say, I'm going to fucking do this? How did your mind go into this?
I opened the door. I saw a snowflake. And right away, I thought what everybody else thinks in the Northeast when they see the first snowflake. It's going to be like the apocalypse. And I went into that frenzy. It was that frenzy that everybody goes through. I walked from my house to the car. 26 seconds that video took. 26 seconds.
Crazy. Yeah. Of all the bits and stuff that you probably wrote.
My wife didn't want to cook that night. She says, go get something. And I just... That wasn't planned at all. I just opened the door, I saw a snowflake, and that was it.
Just like that. Boom. Next thing you know, you're
in. That's how it happens when you leave. Of all the videos I've done before that since 2009, that would be the last one I thought would go viral.
Right, right. Because, I mean, now you kind of replace some of the old ones. You've been doing the vignettes for fucking ever. Nobody even understands that. You know what I mean? It wasn't.
What a webcam. The fucking camera was in the computer. Right. Look at the map. They're all pixelating. They're all.
You just see, he's sitting at a desk, like he was handcuffed to the desk. Can you imagine if he's still doing that now? He was like, he would do it. He would go back and forth, and the chair would squeak, and he would just sit there with the chair squeaking. But he would do 1,000 of them, and it would be hilarious.
Dude, but nobody even knew what like going viral meant. Nobody was an influencer or any of that shit. That's all new shit now, you know. But I gotta ask you, because you just did one. You've done now one this morning that's probably fucking blowing up already. But the one from just a couple of days ago, the government one that you did.
Yeah.
the ticked off Vic. I mean, I think you resonated with everybody. Why is it, Vic, that you say what everybody's thinking, but the people in government don't fucking, they can't fucking think about this stuff that you're come up with in the car?
Well, look, that one, me and Russell are like a team. We're like the Elton John and
Harry Chapin.
No, I know what you mean. From the movie.
Bernie Taupin.
The writing.
I do the acting, he does the writing, and you put us together and boom. Yes. There it was.
See?
We did it, and we said feeling.
Yeah.
We'll have an idea. Well, either one of us, because we got to understand, Peter, we're, you know, man, we've been doing this together now for 6 years, over 6 years, but we know each other for 23 years, and we talk every day, and we have the same sense of humor and the same sensibilities, and we come from the same thing, you know? And so, but we're slightly different, and that's good. And so we'll talk about it. It's like, what do you think about this? And he'll be like, I don't know. What do you think about? And then we'll think about something. And then it's like, yeah, that seems like it might make sense.
Yeah.
And then we talk it through, and then he does it. And it's like, he's like fucking De Niro, man.
That was good, man. The one from a couple of days ago was just so good. I mean, you nailed everything. Everything that everybody's feeling with this coronavirus.
Exactly. And what needs to be said, you know, there's such bullshit going on in this country right now. And yeah. A lot of people, I get messages every day. Ask Russell, he got them too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, you're saying what I'm thinking. You should run for president. Like, somebody's finally.
You know, that's the funniest thing to me is when people are like, you should run for president. It's like, maybe we should not be voting for people like that for president. You know, like,
I think you
get it. You like,
job. Yeah,
you like what he's saying, but like maybe reality stars, I don't know, shouldn't be private. I don't know.
Maybe, right. Yeah.
You know what pisses me off? You get, because you see the spit, right?
Right.
Some people, they comment about the spit instead of the point I'm trying to make in the video. I mean, is that what you got out of this? That I spit all over my dashboard?
Right.
Why are you cursing so much?
My two other favorite things that you talk about is the trolls and I hate that phrase, but it is trolls that will hit you up afterwards with, did you have to say it like that? Like that must drive you fucking insane.
Me and Russell have this conversation all the time. Would you tell George Carlin to do that or Richard Pryor to do that? You know, just
what's
going on in this world? Is a word going to bother you that much? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right. Yeah.
I'd rather be, there's nothing worse than a prude.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how do some people, they must be like the life of the party. Could you
imagine? Well, now, you know,
push face at a party because.
No, we got a one message was some lady, a private message sent to Vic and said, you know, why, I really think you're funny, but why must you curse in front of the good Lord? And Vic responds, hey, aren't all words the good Lord's words? And it's like, you know, maybe they are. They're just words.
It's funny. If the good Lord didn't want you to have the words, we would never even be able to think of the fucking words. It would be gibberish, right? But there's a reason why we say fuck and shit and all that, because we know those words. They're in our vocabulary at this point, you know?
Exactly.
Born and raised in Brooklyn. I'm from the streets. I'm not a fucking Harvard Ivy League guy. I say what I feel. I don't sugarcoat. You don't like it, don't watch.
Yeah. The other thing too that I find hilarious when you get into is when people will give you direction moving forward. Like you'll do a rant of some sort. Next time you should do this or that. What the fuck? You're watching this fucking thing. You just thought it was great. What the fuck?
It would have been funnier if you had a unicorn come out with a tutu. Where were you fucking 20 years ago when I was driving a school bus? Now they're all fucking, they want to help you out.
Right. And none of it's good, right?
There's nothing good.
Right.
No, it's terrible. It's like, oh yeah, right. Vic and I talked about maybe we should take some of the things that people tell us and we should do an entire vignette of like, okay, this person wrote in, why don't you do this? So here we go, let's do this. And then we did this horrible thing. Yeah. Do like a bunch of horror, and see, that's why we don't do that.
We right. always tell each other, if we ever get fuck you money, oh, we're going to have Oof. A fall, man.
Yeah. Oof. I'll tell you also, like, I think a Vic reality show would be fucking money, because I used to just watch you go live, like, at Wawa. Like, you would just go live in the parking lot at Wawa and just fucking say whatever the fuck was on your mind. And it wasn't like you were trying to do anything.
That's another thing me and Russell always talk about. Isn't there a movie producer or TV executive, even if you think I'm half funny or half talented,
right?
My following alone translate into views and ratings.
Peter, it's like why hasn't he gotten a national television commercial? If you took him for the right thing over an unknown, at least he'd be bringing 1.6 million followers to it. He would promote it, and they would watch it and buy the product, and they'd support him.
And you've seen it happen. Anything that you guys have sort of got behind and promoted, it fucking, you know, people get into it, you know? I mean, you fucking have coffee at this point, right?
I know. He has higher ratings than cable networks.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Vic, about coffee. Seems like another idea when you just say, who wants coffee? That seems like it's almost like bread and milk to a degree, right? You probably said it, and then next thing you know, it becomes another fucking thing.
One morning, I'm making coffee. You know, every time the coffee pot comes out, it reminds me of my mother. Whenever Italians make coffee, it was always a big production. Who wants coffee? So you want black or brown? Demitasse? I'm making, what do you want, espresso? Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee? And I just ran around the house with the fucking coffee, the Tupperware, with the extension cord, and that got more fucking views. I'm like, holy shit.
Right.
And Russell said, let's try this, and it expanded. And then a coffee fucking a coffee company says to Russ, why doesn't he have his own coffee line? And it's amazing.
Now, when you get that, Russell, you get that call, you're like, right. Fucking kidding me? Of course he should have a coffee, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm like, you know, he should have a wine line, he should have coffee, he should have, you know, there was like five different things. One time we sat down and you know, and figured out what he should. Oh, it was when he was doing the live 30 seconds with Vic. And we were like, yeah. He was drinking the Pellegrino every show. And it's like, why is it Pellegrino fucking having him do a commercial for Pellegrino? But yes, it's really wonder. First of all, no bullshit. His coffee line is an extremely upscale top shelf coffee producer.
Yeah.
So the coffee's really good. And we're coffee drinkers.
Yeah, me too.
Trust me, it's freaking great. If you want some, email me.
Cool.
And I'll have them send you some
stuff.
You like hazelnut?
Love all that. How does somebody else get that right now if somebody wants to go and
go buy? To his website store.
Even at the K-Cup now.
Nice. Yeah. There you go. So make sure you go get some coffee. Yeah. I wanted to ask you.
Oh, about, by the way, are you aware that he has a new album?
No. Oh, what's out?
Peter.
What do you get? Well, I mean, like the vignettes are, I love, do we still call them vignettes now? Or are we calling them viral videos now? I like vignettes. I prefer.
They're vignettes. But Virtual Comedy Network, run by Jim Serpico, and Jim is a prolific Hollywood producer and manager. So he started this label, and he manages Jim Brewer, among other people. Love and he was partners with who's the guy who did the fireman show? What Dick?
Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary. They're partners. Yeah. And then they have the FX shows and all. Anyway, Jim wanted to do a live album with Vic. And I've been holding back for 6 years because I didn't want to put his act out
other
than live on stage. Because there was a reason for it. But anyway, so we did the live taping of Governors on Long Island. And it's out now, Working Class Zero. It was up to like number six of all albums on iTunes when it first came out. It's on Pandora, Spotify. It's for sale on Amazon, iTunes. It's on, his stand-up is on Sirius XM, comedy channels. iHeartRadio. It's fucking huge.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Right. But so, you know, it came out a couple months ago and, you know, it started to come down the chart and down the chart and down the chart. And then boom, this video came out 4 days ago, 5 days ago, and it rocketed back up the charts. So,
yeah. Now, in terms of the coronavirus shit that's going on, did you have any gigs prior to, like, right as this was going to start happening and then they all got fucking shut down? Did you do one during the virus at all?
He was in the Gotham Comedy Club in Manhattan on March 13th and 14th.
Crazy.
One of the bouncers there was all over the news. He caught it.
Oh, he was selling out the club. 30 people showed up. It was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on that? How does stand-up comedy move forward, both of you guys?
I don't know, man.
You've got other comedians too, right? This has got to be a nightmare.
I can tell you what's going to happen.
Mm, go ahead.
So without getting into what I think is going to happen with live terrestrial performances, the virtual live performance marketplace is going to explode. And I have another client, Steve Hofstetter and Vic. They're going to be doing live performance. Steve started already doing it. And Vic is now, we're waiting to test it out to make sure it's okay so Vic can go onto the platform. Yeah. But it's going to be, it's where the audience interacts. You actually will do a stand-up performance and see and hear hundreds of people laughing. You know, the comedians right now are like, I'm going to give you a live performance from my living room. And they can't hear anybody. And they're in the.
Right. And they have to put laugh tracks and shit now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, we're about to have something that's going to change the entertainment industry. And it's going to allow comedians to go back to work.
Yeah,
and it's going to be great for the viewer too. Because remember, if it's virtual, you don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to pay for a babysitter. Right. You don't have to freaking get. You don't have to have a 2-drink minimum. You don't have to eat frozen mozzarella sticks. You don't have to fuck. You know, you fucking relax.
And it's also good for areas that I don't ever go to. Like, I'm not going to go to Boise, Idaho, but people can see me.
Yeah, come to Boise. Come to
they do. And we say, well, we can't come to Boise for 12 people.
Right,
it's like a backyard barbecue. But we're having an app built,
nice,
for this live performance, and it's going to be able to geo-block. So we're getting a lot of activity for Vic.
Worldwide. We're talking England, Australia,
worldwide. So we can send this only into Australia. And now we don't have to worry about, look, there's a big fan base for Vic in Australia, as an example. But we don't know if it's big enough to sell out a club in Adelaide, in Melbourne, but we do know it's big enough to sell out 400 tickets on an online show.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
With the UK.
Be all about it, man. I think nowadays, I don't know. And it's a fucking scary reality that people are going to feel comfortable going to a comedy club.
That's what I said.
And even with that, so now if you can fill 200 people in a room, now maybe you can only put 100 in them because they can't sit right next to each other. So how that could be to perform in, right?
Exactly. Well, we've talked about that too. You know, you take I don't think the theaters are going to come back yet. I think if there's a chance, it's going to be the smaller clubs. And I said to Vic, you know, you have it like an Uncle Vinny's in Point Pleasant. In New Jersey.
Well, you play there a lot, right? Yeah.
Not a lot. Well, it's his home club because it's close. But,
right.
But it, you know, we can't play anywhere a lot. You know, plays it 3 times a year.
Yeah, I mean,
that is a lot.
Home is home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. You're right. But it's a 148 seat club. And Vic would usually do one show Thursday, one show Friday, one show Saturday, and and sell out 148. You know, we don't know how many we could sell because he just sells it out and that's that. And we're thinking, what happens if Uncle Vinny's only is allowed 50 seats?
Right.
Because they have to, like, every other table has to be empty and, you know. I don't know. Maybe we do a show Wednesday, a show Thursday, a show Friday, a show Saturday, a show Sunday.
Yeah.
It's still not as many people, but we know he'll sell it out.
Definitely.
He's not. He doesn't have to do
the performance side of the stick. You know, obviously, you love having a big crowd in a big room. You feed off that energy.
There's nothing like the audience in front of you. Hopefully, it'll come back eventually. But for now, I can't. I got to take it a day at a time. Otherwise, all my head's going to explode. What am I going to do? I got no choice. You got to roll with the punches.
That's it, man. Now, I wanted to get your take. You mentioned here the Rolling Stones record. What did you think of the whole performance the other day, the One World concert or whatever it was? How did you like it?
Mick Jagger was the best one. I always loved the Stones. They're one of my favorite groups. Yeah.
You know what he once said to me?
All right, shut up.
You know what he once said to me?
Go ahead.
Goathead? You calling me Goathead? You know what he once said? All right, so we're both Beatles fanatics, right? So we're driving in the car. I don't know, who knows where. We're driving in the fucking car, and he says to me one day, like only a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you know, can you name five good songs by the Rolling Stones?
Now I love them. I really do.
You got to reconnect it.
I got into them late. All right. I got into them late.
That's okay. Yeah. That's hilarious, man. But
Beatles, Springsteen, the Stones.
What?
But
I like Springsteen.
Yes, I do.
I love Springsteen. Yeah, you don't love him, Russell?
But his first couple albums.
Yeah.
And then after that, he was the most overrated performer I'd ever heard.
God. He's live right now, I think, doing his songs.
He's so overrated. His early songs, you know, come on. His first two albums, three albums were amazing. Yeah. And then it was like, wait a minute. They're making him seem like he's the next coming of Dylan or the next coming of the Beatles. No fucking way. Like the Bay City Rollers. You ever hear of them?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on. That used to piss me off.
Also want to ask you, you guys have got to be missing baseball at this point.
Not only for that, for the videos, the locker room videos.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that's another fan base. That's the thing with me. I got different fan bases. The Giants, the Yankees.
Yeah.
True.
All the characters I got. And now,
you know,
the pandemic things, I'm getting different races. It's amazing what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I just looked the other day at his demographics, and it's amazing. I mean, he's almost split 50-50 men and women. And he's also about 85% of his audience is 25 to 54 years old, which is like the sweetest spot in television ever. But, you know.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about baseball. What do you think is happening right now in baseball?
I am so.
It's important to you, right, Russell? I mean, I know you did some baseball projects. Yeah.
I did some baseball. I played baseball at very high levels. I love baseball. Vic and I are like crazy baseball fans. I grew up two blocks from Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was like my parents would be like, go get lost. They'd give me like 50 cents, and that would be a whole day at Yankee Stadium on a Saturday afternoon with a doubleheader.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody just canceled.
What's up?
What is that?
What are we looking at?
Can you read it?
No. Read it.
New York comedian goes viral with expletive-laced rant demanding real virus relief plan from the government. Fox News.
Wow. Here we go again, right?
Now. Here we go again. Yeah. Here we go. Came in fast. It went out just as fast.
Easy come, easy go, right?
If I had anybody could have it.
Yeah.
Well, Vic,
that's more than anybody else in this apartment could say, Alex. I had it and I went with it. You had it here, you had it here, and you got it there.
I love it.
Yeah, you got it there, Ralph.
Brooklyn. That was the blueprint for stand up for a situation comedy. It took place in a kitchen, a husband and a wife. And it was, you know, it was, at the end, it was the same story. He told her, he used to yell at her, but at the end, baby, you're the greatest. They kissed.
Yeah.
perfect. It was so perfect.
So who are your influences, both of you? Is Gleason the biggest, or who else?
George Carlin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, wait a minute. Vic, Three Stooges.
Oh, of course.
Laurel and Hardy.
I got to tell you, the two of you together sometimes reminds me of Three Stooges.
Well, what is the video when we paid homage to the Abbott and Costello?
Yeah, definitely.
Laurel and Hardy, we love.
Yeah.
We love them. Monty Python, you know, we love that shit. If you notice, there's sometimes we go for extreme farce.
Yes.
And very visual farce, whether it's the prop, you know, sledgehammer or the door, just, you know, but which is more Three Stooges, I guess. But
for sure.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah. But Vic, you know what I love too is you can take something like the repairs on your house and turn it into a 3 or 4 episode.
Oh, Andy Mann. Well, unfortunately, the house of the project is done. But those guys, you're not going to get another bunch of those guys were characters.
Big
that,
time.
That was a gift. That really was.
Let me ask you, during this virus, have you, either of you, I mean, because you can't go anywhere and do anything, so it's sort of inhibiting, I guess, but are you finding something new that you're doing now that you weren't doing because you didn't have time? Is there a silver lining in this for you at all? Maybe you're writing some new stuff or anything like that?
It's making us more aggressive with the social media, you know, because that's all we got right now.
Yeah.
So, and we really, we found a niche. Everything's clicking the past couple of weeks. And we're gonna keep it going.
You know, there, Peter, there's a whole science to social media. Mm. And we knew it for years, and we kind of like plowed through it without truly understanding how to do it. And over the last 6 months, we've really learned a lot about Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. And we implemented something on March 2nd, and it fucking changed everything. It just, it's like we did a lot of homework, and we talked to a lot of people.
I'm getting all these millions of views during a pandemic.
Right.
I mean, this is a gift. This is.
Yeah. But there's a science to it, pal. You know, it's like. There's a science.
Right, because everybody tries to go viral. I'm sure there's 100 people that right now just made some shit. You know what I mean? But it's, you know.
There's every single fucking comedian is out there doing something. And they think if I just put it out there, I'm going to, you know. Right. Nah, it doesn't work like that.
No.
It's not easy. You got to work hard at it. But you also have to understand the science of it. There's literal algorithms at play. And if you don't know them, and if you don't know your own algorithms, and if you don't spend months understanding on each day every different thing that it's the people who do that truly have the, because they're not putting it's pretty amazing.
All right, we got somebody says, Virginia says, Vic fixing the windshield wipers on his car is absolutely hysterical.
It's true. I used to change struts, spark plugs, but like I said in the video, you gotta work for fucking NASA to figure out, because they come with those little adapters and it relates. People relate to that shit.
Right, absolutely. I think and also I loved when you had not Siri, whatever the Amazon
Alexis.
Yeah, that was
You
travel all over the place, right? I mean, you know, you've hit the road for a long time. Are there places that you really like working at? I know you kind of talked about Uncle Vinny's or whatnot, but there's got to be some places when you go to you just feel like, hey, I can't wait when this pandemic's over to get back to blank. And
you know what? Right now at this stage, I'll be thankful to work any fucking stage. I can't remember the last time I've been on. Man, I miss it.
Yeah, but Vic, Borgata.
Oh, Borgata, Westbury Music Fair.
Right.
Governors, there's so many.
Well, no, but the ones that you really want to, you know, like the Count Basie.
The Borgata, the theaters, the big
right.
Even at clubs, I like the intimacy, and I like the 3,000 people laughing at once. It's two different, you know, it's just, I hope it goes back to that one day.
It will. I think at some point, though, I mean, it might be a year, you know what I mean, before we get to some sort of normalcy. But.
Peter, I can't believe you just said that, because that, well, we were talking to Steve, Vic, and Steve's thought that it would be a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year before a real, true live performance comes back.
Wow.
And if that's the case, first of all, do you think, I'm asking you now. Now I've become the interviewer.
Okay,
I'm
asking you
and Vic.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, and I think that there has been a glut of stand-up comics in this country. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I think there's a glut. I think there's far too many, and I think a lot of them really just shouldn't be, you know. Do you think that this is going to weed them out?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think it's also going to weed out some of these YouTube viral, you know, these youth influence bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yes. And also...
Who's going to be driving for Uber? Who's going to? It's
I'm fucked,
grateful, man. But I broke my fucking ass. You know the.
But you know what?
Finally, from, off.
But back in the 80s, when comedy went crazy, Vic, you know, and when there was that just the explosion, there were so few comics, so that everybody was busy.
Right.
Now there's too many comics, and even though the industry is exploding, I think this is going to thin the herd.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like people are going to be like, I can't fucking do that no more. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, I got to find something new to do with my life now. Right.
Exactly. Yes. But well, if you were surviving doing comedy, you really have to find something else to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about the guys who, you know, there's a whole subset of comedians who like survive on the cruise ships as an example.
Right.
What are they going to do? They can't. And it's not like, oh, I guess I'll go back to the clubs. There's no clubs.
Right.
There's nothing.
Yeah, man. That's true.
Cruise lines are getting bailed out, so they'll be fine.
No, they're not.
No?
No. No.
Well, the airlines are getting bailed out, though, yeah?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
The airlines. Did you see his rant on the airlines?
Yeah, I did. All right, we got a couple more shout-outs here. Denise says, changing the clock in his car. Everybody's just saying things that you did now. How about Vic using a computer mouse to check his colon?
That was recently.
Right, yes.
Russell's idea. How great was that?
That was brilliant. A couple of good ones. Listen, I know you started your life in, you know, as a bus driver, right? You came from very humble means and whatnot before you became all this. Is there anything that you want to say to sort of the people that, you know, to some of those guys maybe, or girls that are working that job that have no work currently? Is there anything you want to say to them to sort of uplift their spirits a little bit?
Just never give up, never surrender, you know, just hang in there. Because what's the alternative? What are you going to fucking kill yourself or what? You never know what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
No, just got to keep fighting the fight. I was on a picket line 8 years ago, wondering if my job would still be there, taken over by scabs. But I kept at it. You know, you got to – what are you going to do? You got to keep fighting the fight, man. It's not how many – like Rocky says in Rocky Balboa, it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you fall down, get up from getting hit, and keep moving forward. That's all you could do.
Well, yeah. You know what? You know what? Shit. One of the classic old-time heavyweight champs.
Jack Dempsey?
Yeah, Jack Dempsey. His quote is, "When you're a champion, when you get knocked down and you can't get up, and you do." Like, it's like, wow. You can't get up, and you do. But you can't. But you do. It's like that's part of a champion.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that's great. I think we kind of rock this tonight. What do you think? Yeah.
Over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
wow, 40 minutes we've been on.
Yeah, I
could have saved like a half a bottle of fucking wine.
But listen,
no, that was great, Peter. It feels like it went very.
It feels great. Listen, I want to say, I'm all about gratitude these days. So I try to say, before I say something, I like to ask you, is there somebody that you want to shout out in your lives that was maybe influential or helpful somewhere along the way? Give you guys an opportunity to shout those people out. And then I'm going to say, give you guys some gratitude too. So Russell, let's start with you. Is there somebody you want to say something nice to that maybe you haven't had an opportunity to in these times?
No.
I love it. How about you, Vic?
Well, it's obviously the guy next to me, not you.
The other side, right?
Yeah. Vic, give me a kiss.
This guy.
Give me a kiss.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
This guy brought my career to the next level. And after that, I would have to say my wife, because she's the one that stayed home every weekend while I pursued my dream.
Yeah.
You know, and Eddie, my cat.
There you go. So to both of you, Russell, I think you're an incredible person. I think I don't think you get enough credit for all the stuff that you do behind the scenes. I think you're constantly working hard on behalf of a lot of people and a lot of things, and I think you should be appreciated. And I just think you're an awesome dude. And for Vic, I would share a quick story with you that a few years back, my uncle passed away, and I was in a pretty dark place. But the first thing I did was just scrolling Facebook, and there was a video of you just ranting about trolls or something. And it was the first time in maybe a few days that I had actually laughed. So you're doing a lot of good for a lot of people, man. And, I just think you're such a great person beyond an amazing comedian as well. So thank you both for spending some time with me, and it was great, guys. All right.
Peter, thank you. That was the first time we ever did an interview together.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's do many more. Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Pete.